It's certainly good to look out in the audience and see all of you here this morning. Oh, I guess that's turned up, but that's good to see all of you here this morning. And it's good to be able to be here and worship the Lord this morning. Thankful for your visit, if you're visiting with us, and hope that you'll come back to see us anytime you may have the opportunity. Man goes to the doctor. One day, doctor says, you need to come back tomorrow. So he goes back to the doctor the next day at the appointed time. And when he goes to the doctor says, I've got some bad news and I've got some worse news. The man says, well, give me the bad news first. He says, well, the bad news is you've got 24 hours to live. He said, 24 hours to live? He said, that's not long enough. I've got to get ready for death and take care of a lot of things. And what possibly could be worse than being told you only have 24 hours to live? He said, well, I should have told you yesterday. That's the worst news. Fact of the matter is, life is short. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 3. David speaks of this. When he says this in verse 3, he says, but truly as the Lord liveth, and as our soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Job chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, Job says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Jacob, speaking of his life, says, the days of my pilgrimage are 130 years. But soon, life is over. You know, fact is, life is over quickly. We don't really have time to hardly get started in life before we turn and say, what has happened with life? If you don't think life is passing by, just take a look. Look at people that you know that were born. And see where they are today. Look at people that you knew maybe 15 years ago. And see where they are. Go back in your mind, however far your mind can go back. And think of people. Maybe sitting in this very building. Who are not here. And not here because they've left. Not here because they quit serving the Lord. Not here because they no longer walk among men. James chapter 4 is where I'm looking. James chapter 4. Beginning in verse 13, our reading says, go now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, buy and sell, and get gain. For as you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that doeth good and doeth not, to him it is sin. You know, James reminds us, I think, of some very important things in this text. The first thing he tells us is that things can change dramatically in a day. It doesn't take long for things to change, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. We don't know what tomorrow's going to be. I've got plans for tomorrow. I've got a doctor's appointment. I plan to make that appointment, but I don't know if I'll make that appointment or not. We all have plans for tomorrow. But we don't need to build ourselves up waiting on tomorrow to do what we should do today. The attitude that we ought to live with, he says in verse 15, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And then I think the strong statement of verse 17 is a grim reminder for all of us that we need to make sure we remember. And that is, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know what we need to do is we need to realize life is too short, and life is too short. Life is too short to take for granted. We don't need to take for granted that we've got life. We live life, and it becomes just something that we go through every day. We have today, and we have tomorrow, and we have tomorrow, and we have tomorrow, and we have tomorrow, and we have tomorrow. How many tomorrows have we had? You know, just take years, calculate your age, multiply them by 365, then add a leap year in every 4 years of your life, and what you're going to do is you're going to find out with how many tomorrows you've had. And so then you're convincing yourself, well, there's always going to be a tomorrow. But we don't know that there's going to be a tomorrow. We don't even know if we're going to be here tonight. Now, it was announced and I plan tonight. I mean, obviously I plan. I plan tonight to do my report on Grenada. But you know what? I hope I'm here to do it. And I hope you're here to hear it. But we don't have an assurance of that even. And we're in today. We don't know. You know what we need to realize is that life is so short. As a matter of fact, I've looked up the statistics, and according to what I've looked up, 6,316 people die every moment of every day. 6,316 people. That is nearly two people a second. Now, we don't think about that because we're not seeing all that. All those people aren't connected to us. But you know what? What you can do is you can go and just drive down the road and begin to look at the cemeteries. You can tell people die. You can go to a cemetery that maybe a few years ago, maybe you remember the cemetery when they opened the cemetery up. And some of you, I've talked with people here who've told me that they remember when Roselawn opened up. I'm long before my time here. But they say, I remember when they just opened up that cemetery. And you go out there today and Roselawn is full of graves. But you see, we're not connected to everybody, so somehow we put life off. We just kind of think, well, death is going to be later on. But no, your life is a vapor. It's here for a little time. We do not need to somehow or another think that what we've got is some kind of lease on life that we can make sure that we've got today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day, because that is something we just simply do not have the guarantee of. What we need to do is we need to remember God in our life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, that is what the wise man reminds us. Remember now thy creator in the days of your youth. Don't take the days that you've got now and say, well, I'm going to do this sometime later. And he's reminding the youth in this case, don't say, well, when I get older, I'm going to do it. Don't wait when you're middle-aged, say, well, when I retire, I will do this. Don't say, well, when... Don't wait. Do what you know you ought to do, what you ought to do today. Life is short. It will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's exactly right. Life is short. We don't need to somehow or another think that what we're doing really is going to make a great vast amount of difference in me waiting and putting off what I know to do today to do something that does not matter. But we do it all the time. The second thing I want to notice with you about life is too short to live with an ugly spirit. To live with an ugly spirit. Some people choose to live their lives on the ugly side. That they miss all the beauty that's around them. That the life is filled with all types of beauty that comes upon their lives every day. That they're skeptics. They're cynics. They're bored with despair. They're bored to despair with life. They're bored with everything. And they don't see life. They can't see any good in life. It's all bad. You ever know anybody like that? I remember a lady when I was growing up at church. You didn't ever ask her how she was doing. Because you'd be there for a long time listening to her tell about all her problems. You see, that's the way some people live. They can't see the beauty of the day. They can't see the beauty of the moment because all they're living. And so they live on the ugly side. They live with an ugly spirit. They don't see the beauty of life. They're not using their time. Their life is a vapor. It's appearing for a little time. They've got opportunities today to do it. They don't need to take it for granted. But they don't need to live on the ugly side either. They're victims who spend their life in all nothing more than self-pity and bitterness for life and what's going on in life, how they're not treated right. There are people who are angry, who waste their lives looking for revenge, somehow to get somebody back because they did me wrong, and I'm not going to let that happen and be unaccounted for. But you see, that's the ugly side of life. And every moment that we live in anger, every moment we live in self-pity, every moment we live with bitterness, every moment that we live with these attitudes of ugliness in our hearts are moments of good that we are losing. And life is too short to live on the ugly side of life. Too short. Brother Johnson probably could have lived a lot of moments on the ugly side of life. But I don't remember Brother Johnson on the ugly side of life. And you know, that's just one. I could begin to name you. We could begin right here, and I could start down the rows of people that I have known right here in this building who I could begin to name, and I could begin to talk to you about them and how they could have lived on the ugly side of life, but they didn't. There were things that were in their life that they could have gotten bitter about, they could have gotten angry about, but they didn't. And you know what? I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I have been able to be a part of lives of people like that who have been a part of my life, who have shown me, even through tough times, even through things that are not good, how that really you can live on the good side. You don't have to be bitter and angry because things aren't always going like you want them to go. Because you see, life's too short to live on the ugly side. As children of God, we ought to be the happiest people on earth. We are by all means the most blessed people there are. Yes. Life has its bumps. Life has its trials. They have their tribulations. They have the things that problems in life. But I want to tell you what, Christians have something that people that are not Christians don't have. And that is they've got a faith in God. A faith in God who is there for them, whose ears are open unto their prayers. When I'm going through a hard time, I can go to God and I can pray to Him. Matter of fact, that's what God wants me to do. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. That's what God wants me to do. So when I'm going through those hard times in life, I'm blessed because I have God's ears open to my prayers. And I'm not just praying to somebody who's listening and can do nothing about it for me. But no, I'm praying to God, the Father, the creator of everything. As Paul said to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, the God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's who I'm praying to. I'm praying to a God who can do. And I've got faith in Him. And you know what? I know that if things don't all ever turn out for me in this life, that because I'm living with God and I'm living my life with God, that it doesn't matter if I ever win one thing in this life, I'm going to win in the end because I'm going to be with those called, the chosen, the faithful, who are riding in on the white horse, pictured in Revelation. Those that are the faithful. The picture there in Revelation 17, that's where I want to be. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I have because of living with God. I'm blessed, you see, because when I'm going through trials in life, I'm sitting here and I say, well, what in the world? This is all I've got to live for. People that don't have God, this is all they're living for. And I can imagine when life goes bad, it's bad. But when you've got something beyond this life you're living for, then when things go bad, it doesn't really affect that. Because you know that doesn't affect your eternal state. It doesn't affect your relationship with God. And so what? That ought to cause me to live on the bright side. I ought to be living on the bright side of life. I ought to be able to mend my quarrels. I ought to be able to put beside me whatever bitterness is, whatever anger there is. I ought to be able to put all that away from me. Why? Because I'm living on the bright side. God is my Father. And with God, I will win. When will that be? On that last great day. When I stand before the judge, and he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of my Lord." I will win. I will be victorious. Life is too short to live with an ugly spirit. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and evil speaking, clamor. Put it all away. And put into your life love, compassion, forgiveness, concern. No one needs to waste their short life living as a grump. And then life is too short to gamble with your soul. Too short. How long does a person live? Well, the Bible says a lifetime is what? 70. If by reason of youth, 80, what? Our lives are soon cut off and we fly away. But you know what? There are lots of people who don't live 70. Some people don't make it that long. But even if we do, when you think about 70 years, 80 years, whatever years there are, it pales in comparison to eternity. You know, we always look at things and we say, well, what size is that? We always want to know, how does this compare? Compare this size to that size. You know, you go and you get a dozen donuts and you look at the box and you say, okay, which one's the biggest? We always want the one that's more. But you know what? The one with more is not always the one that's best. You could live with lots of time and lots of years, but you could waste that time. You could waste those years. Matthew chapter 25 gives us a picture. It gives us a picture of these people who live their life and they come before the Lord in judgment. And he divides the sheep from the goats. The sheep he puts on his right hand, the goats on his left. And then he says to those on his left, to on his right hand first, he says to them, "Come, ye blessed of my Father." Well, how long do they live? Well, we don't know. They may not have lived very long because some of them may have given their life in serving God. But whatever the case may be, he says, "Come." Well, what have you done? Well, I was a hungry and you gave me meat. I was a thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison. You came into me. And then they said, "When did we do this to you? When did we do this?" Well, you didn't do it to me. But inasmuch as you did it unto the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. See, you were living on the bright side of life. There are others who are on the left hand. And he says to those on his left hand, verse 41, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Well, how long did they live? Some of them may have lived a lot longer lives than those on the right. I don't know. They may have had a lot more time and a lot more opportunity. But to those, he says, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil's name. For I was a hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was a thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Sick and in prison, you visited me not." You didn't do anything for me. You had the time. You didn't do it. Maybe you lived on the ugly side of life. Your time was trying to figure out the revenge. Your time was trying to lick your wounds. You gambled with your soul. And time ended. And you had no more opportunity. And their destiny was sealed. It's too short to gamble. So let's do what God tells us to do. Let's believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God by hearing God's word. Let's repent of our sins. Let's confess our faith in Jesus Christ, Son of God. Let's be buried with him in baptism to rise as a child of God, a new creature. Because you see, life is too short to gamble that somehow I've got more time for later. I can't take for granted the moments I have now. I can't take the time and waste it with an ugly spirit. I can't gamble with my soul. And I can't gamble on what I think. Lots of people will fail to do what this book says because they're saying, well, I think. Matthew 7 gives us a picture of people who are doing what they think. And Jesus says to those people on that occasion, verse 21, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, verse 22, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? Did we not do these things? He says, you didn't do the will of God. You didn't do the Father's will. You did what you thought. Life's too short to gamble your soul. Maybe that you're here this morning, you're not a member of the body of Christ. This morning would be a great time for you to say, I'm ready to give my life to God. I'm not going to gamble with my soul. I'm not going to live on the ugly side of life. I'm going to not take my life for granted, and I'm going to live for Jesus. And this morning, if we can assist you in doing that, let us know how we can help you. While we stand and sing, won't you come?